Well, good morning. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Appreciate you being with us in this nice, warm, sunshiny day we've got. But it makes no difference. Just thank the Lord He's given us another day. Blessed us with another day, another opportunity to come to the house of the Lord and fellowship together and talk about His Son. Christmas time. Christmas time. And, you know, I've always been talking about chasing the rabbits. I was talking to you sometime this week. I told her it's not chasing rabbits. This morning my apple cart's been turned over and apples are going every which way. And I'm trying to catch them. We're going to look at the birth of Christ a little bit different than I've ever looked at it in all my life and all my study. And it just amazes me what's in God's Word. And I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit that opens God's Word to us and helps us to know it and understand it. And everything that you know and everything that I know about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is because it's been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, God might have used somebody to reveal it to you, but it's still been revealed by the Holy Spirit. Don't make any difference where you got that knowledge from. So, we're going to turn to Luke this morning. And I don't know of a better time to begin to look at the difference in the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and New Testament than today at Christmas time. And it's amazing. It seems like God just worked this out, that this is the time to start. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about that. So you can go to Luke, and you can go to the first chapter of Luke, have a word of prayer, and then we want to take off with what the Lord has helped us see today. Lord, we thank You again. As we do each Sunday, as we come, as we do each day, as we open Your precious Word, and we say thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for Your precious Spirit. Thank You for the enlightenment that You give us as we study and look through Your precious Word. How sweet it is as we study and enjoy the foods of the blessed gospel of Your Son and our Savior. Lord, I thank You for each one who's present this day. Thank You for each one who's listening in. And Lord, we ask now that we be mindful to know and understand that every blessing that we've ever had comes through and by You. And for Your love and Your kindness that You've shown to us through Christ. So we'd ask You today again, Lord, just put us in the background. Let You be foremost. And let's show forth Thy Son, our Savior, our Redeemer. Bless this time together now today. In the precious name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Holy Spirit, New Testament, I think that you'll find that this is where it begins. And what better place to begin as we begin to look at the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And something came to my mind this morning, and it seems like with God, when it comes to the name of Christ, we call Him Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll explain this to you a little bit deeper as we go on. Now, with us, we look at names and we go from left to right. But we are humanity. We are not spiritual. As I looked at this and thought about this and studied it, since God and Christ are spiritual, and Jesus is going to be the humanity part of the Trinity, and it goes in reverse. We've got Christ, and we've got Jesus, and we've got the Lord. And I'll talk about that a little bit further in detail as we go on. But I want us to begin now as we look in the book of Luke, and we see where we have the Holy Spirit beginning to be mentioned. And remember Zechariah and Elizabeth when they were old in age and had no children. And God made a promise to them. And in verse number 1 in chapter number 13, the angel said unto Zechariah, "Fear not, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Unusual situation here, that here's the work of the Lord, and he says, you're going to have a son, but that son's going to be called John. There's no ties to that name in your family, but he's going to be called John. Then it said, "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." And I know we've talked about this many times. In verse number 15, it says, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be," next word, filled. And he's going to be filled with what? He's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when is this going to take place? It's going to take place even from his mother's womb. Now, here we have the work of the Holy Spirit mentioned in the birth of John. And who is John? We know that John is going to be the forerunner of Christ. He's going to be the one that comes in the wilderness, crying in the wilderness, "Repent, repent." So he's going to be the forerunner of Christ. And then Christ is going to begin his earthly ministry. Now, if you'll notice in verse number 18, Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answered and said, "I am who? I'm Gabriel." One of three angels named in God's word. Gabriel's one of them. Michael's one of them, and of course Lucifer, the morning star angel, now turned out to be the devil. But he says, "I'm Gabriel." But I want you to notice that stand in the presence of the Lord. Now, where do you think this message of Zechariah has come from? He says, "I stand in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord sent me down here to give you a message. And this is the message that God said give to you." He said, "I am sent to speak to thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed." And I want you to notice the wording. You're not going to be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. God don't mess around when he says something. He promises something. He fulfills the promise. Aren't you glad he does? So he fulfills that promise now. He said, "I am sent to speak to you, to show you these great tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb," can't speak now, "and all you to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." How many times do we miss a blessing because we don't listen to the Lord and believe what he says? Of course, he's going to be tongue-tied now during the whole process of the birth of John. All right, go with me down to verse number 24. "And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dwelt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men." Now we're going to get into the lesson, so to speak. There's a lot of things I want us to look at as we look at these next verses. And I want us to look at them maybe in a way we've never looked at them before. Now, we're all adults in here, and we're getting into the birth of Christ. So it said, verse number 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, who? That's angel Gabriel again. The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. Very important. Mary had to be a virgin. There is no tie to natural man. He said, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. You're highly favored. The Lord with you, and blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of solicitation or greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, now I want you to pay close attention to these things that we see here in these next few verses. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. We'll call her by name. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with who? That's a pretty good position to be in, is it not? You found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Bring forth a son, and shall call his name what? Jesus. Now, I want you to think, you know. We're celebrating at this Christmas time the birth of who? Of Jesus. You'll call his name Jesus. How many of you in here have more than one name? You know, they call me Joseph Barry Barber. That gives me an individual first name, Joseph Barry, that's me individually. But the barber on that name does what? It ties me back to family. It ties me back to my father. It ties me back to the male in the family. Okay? You keep following. Let's go. Now, he said, Mary, you're going to conceive in your womb. You're going to bring forth a son. And you'll call his name what? Jesus. Is that unusual to you? Why did she not say you're going to call him Jesus Christ? We call him many times Christ. We call him Jesus. We call him Lord Jesus Christ. We have all kinds of identities to Christ. But God, the angel, came and says, you just call him Jesus. Reason for it. We'll get to it. I want you to remember that. I want you to keep that in your mind. Now, back up with me to Matthew for just a moment. Let's go back to Matthew, and I want to go I've got to find it, and you can find it. You're doing better at nine. Now, when we look in Matthew, we have scripture talking about the birth of Christ also. And, of course, if we look in first chapter, number 18, it said, Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise when His mother, Mary, was a spouse to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the what? Okay, we've got Holy Ghost there mentioned again. Then we talk about Joseph's going not to put her away probably. In verse number 20, in these verses here, I want you to look at with me if you will. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, he appears to Joseph how? He appeared to Joseph in a dream. What nationality is Joseph? So Joseph's a Jew. And here he appears to him in a dream. We'll go back to the Old Testament, and God appeared many ways. Most of the time in a dream. The Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the what? Okay, so we've got Holy Ghost again. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. Does it say Jesus Christ? Does it say Lord Jesus Christ? It just says Jesus, does it not? Reason for it. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name him Emmanuel. Now that don't say Jesus, does it? Which is interpreted what? God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took in him his wife Mary, and knew her not until she had brought forth the firstborn son. And they did what? And he, here we are on the male factor again, called his name Jesus. Food for thought. Now we're going back to Luke again. And we're going to pick it up in the 31st verse. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. All right, now, here we go. Pay attention. He shall be great. He shall be called Jesus. What does that say? He shall be called the Son of the Highest. I didn't say Jesus, did it? And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David. And he shall, notice the shalls, all this, notice all these shall. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for how long? Forever, he's eternal. And of his kingdom shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? Seeing I have not known a man. Okay. Now, in verse number 35, it says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called what? That didn't say Jesus, did it? Who is this angel talking to? This angel's talking to Mary. He has already told him, verse number 31, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. And here, he says, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be called the Son of God. But now I want you to think about something with me for just a moment. I said we were adults. We know that in the process of the natural birth, that the woman has an egg in the womb, and we know that in the process of birth, that there's a sperm released. The sperm penetrates the egg, and then the birth process begins. If you look at a sperm under the microscope, it's a living, moving thing. It has life in it, okay? And it has the breath of God in it. And when it penetrates the egg, they say birth begins at conception when a sperm and an egg, and the sperm fertilizes the egg. They say birth begins. I say life begins. They're trying to do things proper, I reckon, in society we live in today. But that initiates birth. And it initiates life. But the thing it initiates, first of all, is life. Because a baby can be born how? Without life, if something happens in the process. But the initiation at conception is life. Now, what do we see that is fixing to take place with Mary? Would you look back at these verses, this verse with me, very carefully. He said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. All right? Who is the Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost is the third part of the Trinity. Holy Ghost is the thing that does the work of God. He said, the Holy Ghost has come upon thee. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, how long has Christ been? When was his beginning? Huh? When we look at Genesis 1:1 and it says, in the beginning God, it was also Christ too. So God and Christ have been spiritually from the beginning. Now what do we see in this particular verse this morning? Now if we look, let's think about that Christ for just a moment. Let me read you something. About our Christ. And I sure won't get through with this today. In the beginning, in John, chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Now, in the beginning in Genesis 1 was God. Here it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So they are as one, okay? The same was in the beginning with God. So if Genesis 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, then where was Christ? Christ was also in the beginning. He was there. He was present. Then we know that we look at verse number 14, and what does it say? It says, and the Word was made what? Made flesh. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But let me remind you, in verse number 3, it says, all things were made by Him without anything, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men, and light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we know that Christ was in the beginning. Christ was big as God. He said everything was made. He what? He made it. But what do we see that's fixing to take place with Mary? If you look at a sperm, how are you going to see it? That's the only way you can see it. What do you got to have to see it? You got to have a microscope. You're not even going to see it. We're talking about this Christ that we've just talked about that was in the beginning with God. We've just talked about this Christ that's so big and so powerful through God the Father that He was a part of the creation. Said there was not anything made that was made without Him. So this Christ that's as big as God the Father, what's fixing to happen to Him? He's going to be reduced down to something so small that it'd take a microscope to see it. In the natural birth process, remember I said it takes an egg and it takes a sperm. That's the only thing that will generate that process. There has got to be an introduction to a sperm in Mary's womb for birth to take place. So God reduces Christ to a sperm size. That there might be no ties to man whatsoever in the bloodline. Our sin nature came from who? Adam. There's the bloodline. And every child that's ever born has got that natural sin nature. So it must be severed and separated. And here it is severed and it's separated. And here this Christ Himself comes from God, our eternal life. And here in the womb of Mary, God Almighty is going to build a natural humanity body for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. How's this going to be? Now, I want you to notice that it says He'll be called the Son of God. That's what she tells, what the angel says here. Now, let's go on a little bit farther. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth shall also hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Next verse. For with God what? Nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, now this is very important. This verse carries a lot of weight. He says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What has she just done? Mary has just done one thing that's always necessary in relationship with Jesus and with the Lord. She believed. Just simply, she believed. Let it be according. So she has believed now all that had been said to her concerning the birth of Christ. How is this going to be? I've never known a man. And God says, I've got that taken care of. This is what's going to happen, Mary. You're going to conceive. You're going to bring forth the Son. He's going to be the Son of God. And she believed it. And it was performed. If we ever know Christ in saving grace, it's going to be because we believe. It ain't going to be no other way. Now watch this. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of David. Now, I want you to notice that in verse number 36, Elizabeth is already in how far in her pregnancy? She's 6 months. Now, conception is made with Mary, and she immediately, it says she went to the hill country with haste. So she goes to Elizabeth's house. So she's very young. Mary is very young in her pregnancy, okay? But I want you to look what takes place. She entered in the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. Greeted. It's a greeting. And what? She entered the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the solicitation over the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. What in the world did he do that for? You go back to verse number 15 in chapter number 1, it'll tell you why he did that. Because he got a dose to the Holy Ghost. And it was about more than he could take. And he jumped all over in that womb. And Elizabeth knew he was having a fit, and of course she's fixing to have a fit too. Because of what also happens to Elizabeth. And it says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then when she had filled with the Holy Ghost, she went to doing something. She didn't do like a whole lot of us do and close her mouth. She went to shouting it out, boy. It says she went to speak it. She spake with a loud voice. But let me pause here for just a moment. Got a question for you. Now we see here that John is filled with the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't say anything about Mary being filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? You ever thought about it? She ain't got the Holy Ghost. She got a pure thing in her. She got Jesus within her. Now let's look at the results. Elizabeth already, she started, boy. She's already, well, she's speaking out with a loud voice. What did she say? Blessed be thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Two blessings, you're blessed among women, and boy, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me. You want to see the work of the Holy Spirit? She didn't go to a Sunday school class or a preaching service to learn that. It was immediate. When the Holy Spirit entered Elizabeth, it opened her heart and mind to know immediately, this is the mother of your Lord and Savior, and that that's within that womb is your Lord and Savior. It was immediately made known. That reminded me, I missed something a while ago when we were talking about John. If we read over in that first chapter on about John, we find that naturally he was born and nourished, and then he says at a certain time, he said he was led into the desert by the Spirit, and there's where he learned all those things about Christ that he was going to tell as the forerunner of Christ. In a desert with just the Spirit, and that's all you need if you want to know something about God and Christ. You don't need nothing from man. You need it all from God and the work of the Holy Spirit. He said, when is it to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And lo, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ear, the baby leaped in my womb for what? For joy. He had a reason to leap in the womb, and the reason he was, it was for joy. And the reason he had joy, because he knew that Mary had Christ in her womb. And blessed is she that what? What did I say a while ago? See, when Mary conceded, all things are possible with God, and so let it be with me as thou hast said. There's the believing. And here it's verified. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from God. Just like God said, you're going to have that son and you're going to call his name Jesus. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit shall rejoice in God my Savior. Let's look at this verse just a moment. My spirit shall rejoice in what? Does that say Jesus? It says God, don't it? But it says that it's God my what? Look at the ties that we see in this. Now, Lord willing, my time's about gone, but Lord willing, next Sunday, we're going to look at names. We're going to look at the name of Jesus. Now, here, it talks about God, but it talks about who else? It talks about a Savior. What are we doing? We're tying God and Christ. And then we're looking at titles. How many different things has Christ been called in our scriptures this morning? We'll talk about that little, Lord willing, next Sunday. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Aren't we glad that in this generation, his mercy and his grace is still present? Yes, sir. And it's present through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, whom was birthed to us at Christmas time. God bless you and thank you for listening.